intelligent, insightful, smart. These are words other podcasts use to describe themselves, not us. This is Fairly Harmless, where missing the point is only the beginning. With musical accompaniment provided by the Boston Horns, East Coast Funk. Please enjoy Andrew and James.
Welcome to Fairly Harmless. I am Andrew.
I'm James.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Gretchen.
All right. Well, welcome. This is the anniversary episode of the Fairly Harmless podcast. We've now been in production now for a whole year.
That's right.
April 1st is the first day that we recorded.
Wow.
We've only been released to the public for 6 months. So anniversary episode.
Anniversary of recording.
That's right.
1 year anniversary of recording. For folks who can't see us because we're not recording video, Billy and Gretchen are my siblings.
Well, I have a question for James. If you did not know that, would you think that the three of us are siblings?
No. I feel like the milkman was heavily involved in this situation.
I just thought I'd check.
Okay.
We don't talk about politics or religion.
Everything else is on the table.
Fair game. Yeah. There's some things that get cut out, which I don't think are going to be an issue for you two. How much have either of you listened to?
I have listened to every single podcast, some of them more than
episode.
Once. Episode.
Don't and get I that wrong because he'll correct you.
Excuse me. Well, I was along those lines. I was going to say that although it is the meaningless analysis of things that don't matter, which I'm reading from my coffee mug.
Correct.
I think you play a bit fast and loose with the truth here sometimes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's what we're about.
Just clarify, because Andrew wanted his siblings here to, you know, talk about how we were raised. This is not how we were raised. First of all, things that don't matter. Everything matters.
From what I understand, if I'm not mistaken, it was you were corrected on English
everything.
All the time.
Yes. Well, our mother was an English teacher and had a master's degree.
Okay.
That's right.
And our father has never been wrong in his entire life.
I know somebody else like that.
And let me just say,
the record points that I'm not pointing at Billy or Gretchen.
That despite his reputation here, there was some talk of Haggis being Irish. So I am here to set the record straight.
Okay.
About that and everything.
And
Scottish.
Let's also take note that you also did not have a world book encyclopedia.
I did not.
No. You had Britannica.
Absolutely.
Britannica.
The better of the encyclopedias.
And before we forget, I do want to say, please, James, go fuck yourself.
How about you go outside, play hide and go fuck yourself, Andrew?
Exactly.
How about that?
Oh.
I want that to be.
That needs to be on record.
Clear straight away.
You're a fucking ass.
That reminds me of our childhood game where our father would say to the boys, go run around the house until I tell you can come in.
That's right.
Wow, I don't remember that, but it sounds about right.
I don't see Andrew doing much running these days. He and I aren't runners.
I did some running back in the day.
Yeah?
Yeah. I played organized sports.
Billy and I were in the marching band.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were so cool.
Billy, what did you play in that band?
I played percussion.
Oh, so you're the drum major.
Well, snare drum, bass drum, cymbals as a young lad.
Wow. The cymbals, the crashing, like the monkey.
That's right.
Okay, good, good.
I think you could play the triangle.
I'm good with the triangle. The tambourine's a little bit much.
Tambourine, glockenspiel, right out.
We persuaded the band director to purchase the vibra slap, which is a percussion instrument that Frank Zappa used on some of his music.
Is that where that came from? Wait, did he invent the vibra slap?
No, but I don't think so. But he was interested in percussion. He played the bicycle one time on some sort of television show in California.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that video of him playing the bicycle.
Are you trying to learn how to operate that thing? It looks like you don't know what you're doing.
I know what I'm doing. I'm pulling up some notes I have about...
Wait, I just want to hear about the vibra slap while we're waiting for Andrew to pull up notes.
Yeah.
Once we acquired... This must have been after my time. Once we acquired the vibra slap, was it used in the marching band, or how was it
used? I really don't remember. It wasn't in the scores that we played in the concert band. Usually,
I reckon
it wasn't
not
covered, but maybe we used it in the marching band. I don't remember.
Oh, well.
No, these things are, I'm getting to it. So this guy, so he is the mountain that makes the airplanes fly. He's all the technology.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew is the ocean that makes the boat float, as we pointed out.
That's right. And so I have lots of ideas. He's had, how many ideas have you had?
Maybe I've had about 12 ideas.
Uh-huh. Right. I've had about about 112.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm almost there. I do want to say that not the last time we were all together, but sometime over the winter, we were all in the hot tub. And
I wasn't in the hot tub.
You weren't?
No.
No.
Family hot tub.
I don't think you'd fit.
No. It would be one or the other of us.
Billy was trying to explain to Gretchen how the hot tub controls worked. And he said, you got to press that for max bubbles. And Gretchen said, oh, that sounds like your podcast name.
Or my stripper name.
Or my stripper
That's
name.
A good stripper been, name.
That was my stripper name. That what it was. It. Max stripper Bubbles. Name. So we'll have to make an addition
Billy,
to the
Billy, I
board.
Think that's a good name for a stripper.
Here it is. I made some notes about things that Billy has told me about. The first one is your story about the finance guy Brigham and buzzword bingo.
Brigham
Briggs. You told a great story about this guy and then seeing them at a... You asked a question.
Yes, so we would have all these big management meetings with people who were proud of their achievements, and they would always have some of the lower echelon people make some presentations about what had been decided. And there was this sort of tacit agreement that you could ask critical questions, not too critical, but critical questions. And so they put together this annual plan for the company, and it included several elements, but among them were the number of units they were going to sell, the average selling price, and the gross revenue they were going to generate by selling this finite number of units. And so while this guy's talking, I just cross-multiplied the numbers in my head, and they didn't add up, right? If you multiplied the average selling price by the number of units, it didn't give the revenue. And I'm thinking, these guys have MBAs and they use computers. How can they get that wrong? And I asked him, hi, this is Billy.
Billy.
And I'd like to ask why it is that these numbers don't add up. And Brigham was up there with the microphone on the stage. And in the heat of the moment, he could not multiply two-digit numbers and check to see if I was right or not. He looked like a deer in the headlights. That was fun, and everybody kind of laughed at him. And
you got to keep your job?
Yeah, on the way back, my boss kind of chided me for doing that. You didn't have to do that, Billy. And so then that night, one of the women that I worked with, she was having a big celebration down at the bar. Beautiful Chamber of Commerce day, and there's a courtyard down there at the Courtyard Marriott, and we're drinking beer, and they got hors d'oeuvres and everything. And there's this gal telling a story, a statuesque attorney that worked for the company. Everybody's looking at her telling this story, and she looks over at me and she goes, and that's the guy. And the story was that when the VP of finance got them all back to the barn after the meeting, he told them, don't ever let that kind of thing happen again. Of course, he never checked it either, right?
Right. Don't ever let the friggin' engineers make us look like monkeys, you friggin'
monkeys.
Well,
what it did was it belied the fact that they didn't really have any deep thinking that went into this annual plan for $1 billion company, you know?
Right.
The product of number A times B did not equal C. It doesn't give you any confidence that either A, B, or C is actually valid.
So that is a great story. So is that the same as buzzword bingo or no? Is that different?
Well, buzzword bingo was a lot of companies did that where you had a list of buzzwords. And as the big bosses would be making a speech, you would check them off.
So you and whoever else was in your group would be playing this game together?
A lot of people, different all over the country, they did it. But what happened is these words would come in like on a go-forward basis, which meant in the future. And so these people say, on a go-forward basis, this is supposed to happen. Or from now, this is supposed to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this came up in our discussion of just use regular friggin' English. Don't change it. And I think it was part of modern commentators use the phrase metrics. These metrics. Which makes it sound, yes.
I could interject along those
lines.
Please. Because I come from a different background. My friend, the grammar lady, she made up or somewhere got is Hallmark.
Grammar lady?
You
is
know
this, this is a friend of yours. This is not like a YouTube personage.
No. She is a friend of mine. She also did have, she was interviewed weekly on the radio as the grammar lady here locally on I don't know, WRAL.
Minor celebrity,
yes.
Talked about on this podcast.
And she recommends every year at Christmas time the Hallmark Christmas movie bingo. So, you know, hero in a red sweater, lost dog, certain catchphrases that will appear in your Hallmark Christmas love stories.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we play the Hallmark movie bingo sometimes. Similar idea.
Now, this brings up an interesting idea in my head. The colossal Tenenbaum, yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Billy, you were intimately involved in the getting the giant Christmas tree on from the side of the house.
One of them we cut down from the side of the house. Do you remember that, Gretchen?
Yeah.
And then you and
it
Dad
wasn't often a Christmas tree will be pruned such that it has a Christmas tree shape. This one had more of a woods look.
Natural.
But you drug it around to the side of the house, and I assume it weighed.
It was a heavy tree.
Right.
I heard from what this guy says, you all had to craft your own stand.
Right. It wouldn't fit it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't hold it up, too. The trunk was bright.
And it was
8 inches
tied to the wall with fishing line or
we had right to keep
ropes
it
or something.
Did the crown actually bend over at the top of the?
You know, I don't remember, but it took a big ladder to put the angel up there.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe we put the angel up there before we erected it, actually. But just to put the lights on was a daunting event.
Yes. And that was back when one goes out, they all go out, right? I mean,
that's right.
The house, for those, you know, visualizing this at home, the house was an A-frame. And so the main room, you know, went all the way up, I don't know, 30 feet or something. And this tree took up every bit of it. And off the back, the whole thing was set into the side of a hillside. And off the back was a deck. And you looked out over all these pine trees.
Now, I'm curious, when this occurred, were you all past the point Santa was no longer?
I think we had reached
maturity. I had a chainsaw, so.
You're not giving a lot of nine-year-olds chainsaws.
No, he was, how old? These two are a little bit older than me.
You're the baby of the bunch.
I'm the baby. Were you?
16, 18.
Yeah, like at least.
And you were what?
Six.
Five, six.
Six.
Five, six. Would've been six. I know five, six.
Six to eight.
And you believed in Santa till you were 18.
He had no reason to doubt him.
That's right. I mean,
can't break it to him.
It's. I got to tell you, it's been a long, hard road of growing up these last 25 years.
Right.
I'm 55.
More and more has been revealed. I don't want to tell you anything about tomorrow, but that bunny.
Funny. It's not it's a full of chocolate
with a tooth fairy. for such a dental event, they have a lot. They're in codes. We got a couple of things planned. We got What's in the Box is back in session today.
Mystery box.
Gretchen brought the things for What's in the Box. So
I want to be clear that you have listened closely enough to the podcast to know that Gretchen at one point worked as a docent in the Natural History Museum and has an affinity with creatures.
Nothing alive.
Nothing alive.
So you haven't stolen anything and put
it in. Well, that would be
I don't care about it being stolen. I just don't want it to be.
That would be so cruel to the animal. I wouldn't do that to any live creature. The poor animal would be terrified if you stuck your big monkey paw in there.
Your big old hammy.
Poor little
mitt.
I can't imagine. I would never do that.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about was the little creature being traumatized.
Snakes are our friends. Remember that.
That's right.
I don't know if I've.
By the way.
Yes.
There was an item Andrew put in the box. I think the original item.
The one from the original What's in the Box.
Yes.
The only one
which
we've done.
Which he did not remember. I had actually given him. It had been from a stocking I gave
him.
Wow. A stuffer.
It was a gift from Gretchen.
Wow.
I didn't purchase it myself. Mm-hmm. It was a gift.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, sister. I need to take a picture. We need to immortalize that, as Omar Jones stated up on the website for all to see. Okay. Maybe we started a gallery.
Items
that have been What's in the Box items, now that it's probably going to become a regular shtick.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shall I turn the opening toward Andrew and hope everything doesn't fall?
We'll start with Andrew, and then we'll go around the table. I'll just close the computer.
So it's on top of the pedestal,
One's on the pedestal and one's somewhere nearby.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to touch them both,
Let's do it one at a time.
Only the all one right, on one the pedestal.
All right, so I'll start with the pedestal.
Start with the pedestal.
Meow.
Was that you, James, or was that you, Billy?
That's
good, Billy.
That's good, Billy.
Maybe it's too easy. It's fine.
Well, it's only because you told me, you made a suggestion to me.
Oh, no.
Billy, I'm warning you, the pedestal's in the back.
Back of the box.
Back of the box. What do you think, Billy? What do you think, Andrew? It's very prickly, whatever it is.
I think sweet gum ball.
From the tree?
Everybody?
From the tree?
Oh, yes. I was going to guess pine cone.
No, it was definitely not a pine cone.
Sweet gumball it is. 2 out of 3.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Starting with Billy, you can feel the other item, which is somewhere down on the ground, or I don't know where it is.
I know what shape it is. I don't know what.
What it is?
I know what, yeah.
Don't tell us yet.
When I had first grade Cub Scouts, told them a story about how I wanted to go to the Holy Land and procure a royal mummy, because only a royal mummy would be good enough for me. They were better preserved and, you know, more attractive. And
what were you planning on doing with the mummy?
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
So then when I got
my own ideas, you know.
Villainous mummy trader who took me into the pyramid down rickety ladders, and he showed me an inferior mummy that had been moth-eaten, and I didn't want that. But then I could see that further down, there was an exquisite royal mummy, a young woman. And so I dropped the lantern and made my way down there in the dark for the purpose of stealing this mummy.
Right.
And as I'm stealing the mummy, the Hassan takes a sword and swipes at me and cuts the mummy's hand off. And so all I got was the mummy's hand. And that was what I had in the box that the Cub Scouts could touch. And the mummy's hand, of course, was a leather glove with wet sand in it, you know.
Oh, wow.
There's always one kid that goes, that's not a hand. That's just a glove with sand. And I know what that is, because they were, you know, 7. And some of them are a little bit more precocious. And so I sort of tamped him down. And I told him that if they were good, I would show him the Japanese weeping crystal sometime later, which, of course, is an ice cube. Owned by a woman who was so disappointed when her lover died that the crystal he gave her constantly wept tears of bitter disappointment. And Eddie Olivares, about once every 2 weeks, can we see the Japanese weaving crystal now? Eddie, soon.
So I'm thinking
item number two in the mystery box. Go for the triangular thing and then we'll...
Okay, I have a guess.
Okay, there should be a triangular.
Do you feel the triangular thing?
It's the triangular thing, right?
Yes, the triangular thing.
Wishbone shape.
Wishbone shape.
Wishbone it is.
Johnny Wishbone.
It is a wishbone.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
cool.
It is. And I put it in there because I thought, you know, since this is also a little bit of a throwback to our childhood, that my brothers might want to make a wish.
Ah, I thought there could be like a competition.
Well, you know, every breaking of a wishbone is a competition.
That's right.
In fact.
And then
it's kind of like thumb wrestling.
I like it. Now, is this from a recent chicken?
I think it was from the Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, wow.
I think, but I could
it's
be
got
wrong.
Got some nostalgia.
It could be from a chicken.
Alive.
Wait,
look
at you. Have you made your...
Oh, it broke right down the middle.
Oh,
broke
my
right
goodness.
Down the middle. Look at that.
You both get your wishes.
Is the short one get the wish or the long one?
I think the long one, but I think you both get your wishes.
Wow.
I
don't know
maybe
if it works
then. Maybe
it
dried too long.
Yeah,
maybe it got too old.
It got mummified.
It got mummified.
I put my finger on it. It was a little bit of sticky, but maybe that was all in my head.
Well, it's because it was near that fleshlight that you left in there the last time.
Speaking of which, you said you were going to give me something today. Is that right?
I do. It's in the closet. I got to go get it. I think you know what it is.
You son of a bitch. Is all I
we'll
can
get
say.
That. We'll get that in a minute.
I see. Yeah.
Well, you know who liked giant hair bands was Andrew. He's a big fan of Guns N' Roses.
You're going to miss out. These people, you guys don't listen to terrible 80s music. No, they don't care. They
no, not very often.
No. Yeah.
Although, along those lines, absolutely, I recommend this highly to everyone listening because of the upcoming total solar eclipse.
Total eclipse of his heart.
Exactly. I looked that song up. And the 80s video for it is unbelievable. It is so weird and so 80s and almost uncomfortable. You have to watch it.
Maybe we can watch it right now.
You can watch it right now.
Is it Kim Carnes or
something like that?
Linda Carlisle?
No, that first one, Kim somebody.
Yeah, I think Kim Carnes is.
It is so freaking weird. I was like, okay, I know the 80s music videos were strange, but this just goes a whole... It's the one that's under, you know, official video or something like that.
Here, let me put it up on the big screen.
Here's something. Have you had any songs stuck in your head recently? Either of you?
Oh, yeah.
Besides Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Yeah. Total Eclipse of the Heart. That was terrible.
That's a good
one. That's pretty awful.
That was pretty good. If you watch the whole thing, you'll see that she's like, in a part of the time, she's sort of in a boys' boarding school.
It looks
and
that
it's
way.
It's borderline kind of uncomfortably. I don't know what the heck's going on between her and those boys, but it's.
She only looks like Lady Diana from a far away.
Oh, when yeah. You get up it's close, just the hair.
It is a boys' boarding school.
I know. Well, there's some scenes that made me a tad uncomfortable, but I'm more woke than I was in the 80s.
I think we all are. I think we couldn't avoid it.
Yeah. Let us not forget there's something that Billy put in the box too.
Oh, that's right. There's the second third, round third of
the second
I'm ready.
Second yeah. coming of the
I'm
box.
I'm going in. I certainly have a guess.
All right, cool.
All right, I'm going to reach.
And we want specific answers.
I was afraid you would. I should have felt it longer. I may have to have another as we say here in the South.
I think I'm going to have to cut that one out, Andrew.
That's what she said. That's what your mom said.
That's right.
Hey, now watch. Don't be talking about my mom like that.
You know,
she's your mom, too.
Your mom, strangely enough, was in the Holocaust. I know you guys don't know that, but there's a picture in somebody's apartment where she's staring down from on high.
Yeah, so you made up... pictures of our mother and gave them to all of us, I think, some time ago.
Oh, that was actually our dad did that. Yes, I passed them out, but he had them made. Yeah.
So I've got this wonderful picture of mom and I put it up in my apartment. And my friend, which I use that term loosely, James, and my other friend, Schwa, came over to visit.
It was during the first, it was during Fairly Harmless.
Were we recording?
The recording of our first guest, Schwa.
And he commented and said something like, you know, I just want to acknowledge that you've got this wonderful picture of this Holocaust survivor victim on your wall.
On your wall. Said,
thank you. That's my mother.
You asshole.
You son of a bitch.
Just because it's sepia.
And it knocked him down a peg in my eyes.
I think I went up a peg, I feel like. I feel like it's was very observant.
Hard to go lower.
Yes. Well, I thought, I just, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to, well, maybe I am. But, you know.
Hurt me?
It's tough with your family here, but I don't want to
stop you.
I'm going with it. I don't want to delve too much into your personal life, but that picture's up pretty high.
You saying I needed a?
It can see a lot of things.
Oh, Jesus Christ! You and the
it's up high enough that it can see stuff.
It's like
Santa Claus and God.
First off, mom does not reside in the picture.
True. True.
You've got like some sort of weird shamanistic thing going on.
Well, it could be like a Harry Potter picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, You know, you give AI long enough, it'll start moving around.
Mm-hmm. Harry Potter. What do you mean, Harry Potter?
Those have you ever pictures the that pictures were alive. In Harry Potter that
the
move?
Portraits on the wall? Oh yeah. That were alive.
You remember the movies and the books?
Did you see my mother's picture moving?
She did have eyes in the back of her head, so.
That's true.
She tried to correct me on some grammar when I was leaving your apartment the other day.
You heard her voice in your head saying.
I didn't want to take that tangent, but I had to. Sometimes it makes me think when I'm doing certain things, like would I put my mom up on a wall that high or would I keep her lower to the floor?
This gives me a great idea. The next time we're recording, first I need to get a picture of your mother and frame it.
Not hard. She's still living. I know where you could get one.
I've got her phone number. I've got her phone number.
That's
a great idea.
That's right. You were just there.
I wasn't actually, but she's coming to visit and I'll take her picture.
Right.
Thankfully, she doesn't
listen to this fucking podcast right. for certain reasons.
Smart woman. For me.
But then Pops does.
Frame it and put it in your bedroom high up.
Well, thankfully, my bedroom isn't where I partake of certain activities.
Goodness.
Billy, what do you think?
TMI.
Oh, that's the whole thing, Gretchen. It's uh-huh. TMI. But you see, I haven't said anything. I've just implied things.
That's true.
All right. So I'll just make a bunch of little wallet sized pictures and just put them all over the house.
Almost like little cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
Camera mom.
6 or 7 in this bathroom. And
oh, it'd be like the 80s when you used to get like wallet photographs. You know, they'd say. You know, you can put this in your wallet. They don't do that anymore.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people don't carry wallets anymore.
Yeah. Or money.
I do both those things, but I'm a throwback.
Wow. Cash?
You have to carry cash. You don't know how to use any of the modern day.
I know how to use the credit card, honey.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say, you don't know what Venmo is. Or
I can't get Venmo to work for me. I can get Zelle to work, but no one has Zelle.
You know, Gil has Zelle, oddly enough.
Gil Martin. The man who would be king.
The man who would be king.
Do you think you could get to the point?
There is no point.
All
right. Well, I will say that in the box... It's clearly a badge, but we're supposed to be specific.
I didn't think it was a badge. You didn't? I thought it was a belt buckle.
I thought it was a belt buckle, too.
So it's not. So, Billy, we were wrong.
So if it's a badge and we're supposed to be specific.
Are we talking like a specific area that this badge would be used?
Capital area policeman badge?
Yeah, like capital. You know, did you steal it from the police?
That's illegal. You can't have that.
Joe could give it to us.
It's a Clemson University student police badge.
Wow.
Number 67.
Wow.
But
vintage.
You were, to my knowledge, a
student policeman, one of my many, many jobs. My friend she was a student policewoman.
Really? Okay. I can picture that.
And in the summer, the whole crew of cadets showed up to paint yellow curbs and they didn't have enough paintbrushes. It was like 25 people. And so then the next day, 6 people showed up. And then after that, it was Joe and I for the rest of the summer.
Uh-huh. Quickly and promoted to
during captain. The school year, the student police served directing traffic at ball games and that sort of thing. And so the woman who was I think she was like a colonel or something like that. She was in the Marine Corps Reserve as well as a leader in the student police, and she got badges and uniform shirts.
Wow. Did that power go to your head, Billy?
No.
Okay.
And I showed up for one person it would event go to. Long enough to get the badge, and I was making my way out the back with the shirt, called me back and got the shirt back.
But you stuffed that badge safely away.
Badge.
You tucked it away.
That's some impressive swag.
That is impressive.
That could go up on eBay for
to
something.
Pick your own badge number, and she wouldn't let me have the badge number I wanted, which so was, I got, of course, 67.
Yeah, think I know which one you wanted.
A couple of numbers higher there, Billy.
Perhaps.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go get the mystery gift out of the closet. I'll be right back.
This is going to be awesome.
You may actually see me.
We can't
follow through on
killing James.
On my threats.
Well, the
James.
Thing is, if you're ever going to have guests here who are going to keep your secret to the grave.
That's right. It's going to be your family.
The siblings. We'll never tell. James? We never met anyone named James.
James who?
I don't know to what you are referring.
Now close your eyes.
Okay.
You're going to keep them closed.
Uh-huh. They're still closed.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm taking it out of the package.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, ready wow.
It's not what I thought it was.
It's the pillow that you are going to use to suffocate James.
It is. It's so great. It's so much better. I thought you were going to give me a fleshlight and I was going to beat you to death with it.
Tell us what it is.
You can bring it home and bring it home with your mom.
Hey, okay. Mom, look what I got, a fleshlight. Oh, it's a fairly harmless pillow, folks. It's incredible. How
suitable.
Sweet.
It's sort of a throw pillow, I would
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
It's already breaking. I like that. Uh-oh. Quality, oh. Quality it control. Uh-oh.
It is.
Uh-oh. Do you need me to sew that up for you, little
can
brother?
You? Yes.
I can do that at home. At
aren't
home.
You sweet?
Not here.
We're going to need to get an emergency sewing kit on set.
Goodness gracious. Yes. A little bit of faulty workmanship.
Hecho, where's that been hechoed?
That's hecho. The pillow is probably hecho in Honduras.
Hecho in Honduras.
But printed in America.
China.
Yeah, so that was part of the three things that I got from the latest purchase of Fairly Harmless gear. Gretchen, if you want to, because I know that the magnet didn't work on your car.
That is sadly true. But more importantly, I was gifted on my birthday a clothing item which was about four sizes too large.
And I got a replacement.
Smaller ones?
Smaller ones have been procured. I don't know if they're exactly your size. We had to guess.
I'm sure they'll be a little closer.
I have those here.
Wow, now I'm
Billy, like, I'm sorry so I don't have excited. Anything in your size. I got a replacement idea. I don't know how well it's going to hold up. This is a decal that you put on the inside of your window.
Awesome.
Mm. And it has instructions. So I'm going to give you the instructions. Okay. Here's what they look like.
It says, of course, as all our childhood signs said, fair. We are being kidnapped. Help us. That's what we slapped up in the way back.
So this is going to be permanent.
Sort of like a temporary tattoo.
It's a permanent temporary tattoo for your window.
You know, I've only remembered of, I can't remember, it keeps on going through my head. I remember the story of dad showing you, I don't know how old you were, but it was in Philadelphia. But you, either you or he had built a catapult. Can you tell that story briefly?
Sure. So our father did engineer. Research on different things. He worked at the Franklin Institute, and I was sort of a tinkerer. And so he came home with this very flexible, natural rubber tubing, super stretchy. And he gave it to me, probably 25 feet of it. And so I constructed a catapult with this material. I was getting ready. It was almost fully assembled, and I was getting ready for the test firing. And our dad, the commuter, he took the train into work. He comes past the garage, you know, briefcase in his hand. And he looks down at what I'm doing and he said, "Don't shoot that thing till I get home from work," which really was a mistake because he sort of had, when I get home from work, we will debate whether that should be fired in the neighborhood. He said, "Don't shoot that thing till I get home from work."
So he was giving you permission.
Yeah. And so he gets home from work, same guy, same thing, garage right there. And I have half a brick on this baby. And the arm on this was maybe 4 feet long. And I pull it back and cock it and didn't really say anything. He's just standing there and I fire it off and it goes over the house across the street and into the next spot. And he looks at me and he goes, "Put that thing in the garage."
Half a brick, folks.
Half a brick.
Over the neighbor's house into the next.
That's some ingenuity there.
And yeah. I got on the bike and I went over there. Because I'm figuring, you know, there would be cops in an ambulance if it had killed somebody or even a dog. I mean, there would be somebody looking into it. But I was going to look and see if it took out a hedge or broke a window or took some shingles off a roof. I never could find that brick. So have we ever covered the kitchen fire?
The kitchen
we have not. Fire. Have you heard about so the kitchen
no,
fire?
No, I have not.
So this A-frame house that had the picture of the Christmas tree. There was a little galley kitchen up on the first floor. And ground it level. Wasn't uncommon to go down in the basement, watch some TV, and perhaps bring some popcorn down there.
We should say I was probably 15, 14.
15, not very old. So Andrew puts the popcorn
old
on
enough
the
to
stove.
Know better. No, he was making French fries.
French fries.
You weren't making Jiffy Pop?
No Jiffy Pop.
French fries with the big pot full of oil bubbling away.
Boiling oil.
And then goes down to the basement to watch television. Then recalls some minutes later that there's French fry grease on the stove.
Well, so I was downstairs watching, I can't remember, something.
The smoke alarm goes up.
No, the I could hear the fan, the exhaust fan was going, and you know it was this, and then I heard it kind of cut out and then stop, and I thought
that seems odd.
It seems odd.
The fire had extinguished the fan, so Andrew sees the fire. He goes over to the neighborhood.
I go upstairs
flames
and I'm like, "Holy
neighbor's
shit!"
House, rings the doorbell, and the neighbor casually comes up to the house and opens the door to his house. And Andrew says, "The kitchen's on fire." He grabs the fire extinguisher and comes over and puts out. The fire department came and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when it was all over, the neighbor says, "Andrew, if the house is on fire, you can just open the door and holler. You don't have to ring the bell."
Yeah, it was good that the fire department.
Courteous.
It was good that the fire department came because the boiling oil had caught on fire, and it looked like a jet engine upside down on the stove, and it had gone up into the exhaust fan that was covered in grease that we never cleaned.
Right.
Which we didn't have to because
the fire had gone up.
The fire.
Okay.
And it had gone into between the interior wall and the exterior wall.
Oh,
and
boy.
It was in there. And so even though we had put it out with a fire extinguisher,
so
the house was still
burning.
Was still
fire.
In the process of burning down. So it was a good thing that the fire department came because they hacked a hole in the roof, put out the inner wall fire.
Now, I don't know much about your father, but
easygoing.
What I know about him in this time period is that I wonder what it would have been like to be a fly on the wall post grease incident.
Pretty concerned about his.
I'm surprised you're breathing.
Many stories have a happy ending. So our mother became persuaded that the heat from the fire had affected the tuning of the piano. So she made a claim. The insurance company fixed the roof and, you know, painted the kitchen and did all that stuff. And they also paid to have the piano tuned.
Oh, I love that. I
don't think I ever
remembered
that or knew that.
Wow.
How great.
How fortuitous that you almost burned your house down.
Yeah,
she
got her piano,
too. It was close, too. I mean, that was close to burning the house down. That was quite a bit of damage.
Yes, it was quite a bit. Thousands and thousands of dollars, even 40 years ago.
Uh-huh. And what kind of punishment did you
I don't know that I got any punishment for that one. Accidents happen, James.
And he was very remorseful.
I see.
If you count remorse as, you know,
if you count
mitigating factor.
Fear is remorse. Yeah.
Oh, I would count fear as remorse. I'd be ostracized from my family, I think.
So. It wasn't like, what did I do to get where I had to? One of the punishments was I had to dig a ditch all the way around the house.
A moat.
Well, was that to put the roach?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. But
so
it was a
back
punishment.
Back in the day, you could treat your house with what was that stuff?
Chlordane.
And then they made it, they're about to make it illegal. And our dad went and stockpiled it. So for years after that, he'd make the boys dig a ditch around the whole house from time
to
time.
No, I think I was the only one who ever dug a ditch around the entirety of the house.
All right. It's not how I remember it. How do you remember it, Billy?
Did you dig any ditches around the entirety of the house?
You know, we did a lot of field work like that.
Yeah,
field work.
So this has been Andrew.
I'm James.
I'm Billy.
And Gretchen.
Once again, this has been Fairly Harmless. Missing the point on... Wait, What's the point? Fairly Harmless is available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, YouTube, and Pocket Casts. Our musical accompaniment provided by the Boston Horns, East Coast Funk. Their music is available for streaming and purchase on most media platforms. For Fairly Harmless, this has been your announcer, Fast Eddie. See you soon.
I should have felt it longer.